think we have Mayor Dobies with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Doing good. No, you guys had a pretty busy meeting last night.
It was a marathon. It was another marathon, yeah.
Yeah.
Lasted till about 11 o'clock, but I think after all of the additions to the agenda, and we have, you know, the consent calendar, public hearings, public comment, things like that, but new business is kind of typically what will drag a meeting out, and we went all the way to item X, so had a lot on the plate last night.
That's a lot of letters there, but talk a little bit about this new project, the Blackstone Apartments. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, so it will be workforce housing. Miller Valentine, the same developer that worked on the Francis Street Lofts, had such a great experience working in the city and working with the city to develop that project, which I'll note is full, is fully occupied, and I'm sure there's a waiting list for it too, but they are at capacity. They're interested in working with the city more, doing more projects. We awarded them a provisional first reading pilot last night and plan to work on them, work with them to develop another 45-unit facility at Blackstone in Glick, right at kind of the corner there. And this will probably be the first of maybe some other developments in that area, but it's a little bit west of the Loft on Louis and the 200 there in that kind of big open green space north of the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And they're going to put in a 45 unit building. So it'll be probably something a similar size to Loft on Louis. And it'll be for workforce housing. So lower, moderate kind of income. I think it'll be 30, 40, 60% AMI. So there'll be some income caps for people that are living there, and this will also be part of the RAD conversion of Reed Manor. So, you know, taking some of those individuals that qualify for the new housing, moving them out of the Reed Manor area into new developed housing so that we can start to reconstruct Reed Manor and rebuild that over a period of time. And I think it's great. It's, you know, Miller Valentine is a great partner on the Francis Street Lofts. I think they'll be a great partner in this endeavor. And I know one of the things that we need, probably the most important thing that we need, is more affordable housing in the city. We've heard that raised by advocates and individuals across the city for the last couple of years. I think it's been exacerbated by the pandemic, and that's why it's incumbent on us to move forward with projects like this to actually build out that housing.
Yeah, is that going to move forward now, or are there other hurdles to get over?
You know, it's with any development, there's multiple steps. So there'll be development agreements, site plan reviews, things like that. I'm excited to see the renderings of. I haven't seen the renderings yet of what the project will look like. I'm sure they're working on that. Obviously, the first parts are kind of making sure that they can get onto that property and get a pilot and get some of their initial agreement set up. But I'm sure that those renderings and kind of site plans will be coming soon that we'll be able to show those out. But yeah, it's there still will be some other property over there, and we'll be continuing to market and develop that. But it's likely that with the capacity that Reed Manor has in its RAD conversion, that we'll be able to do some mixed income housing over there. Also, on the first floor of the new development that we just approved for a pilot last night, will be a Head Start program. So Community Action Agency is going to be kind of having a classroom over there. They've been looking at expanding something downtown for Head Start program. So they're already thinking about what they're going to be putting. It'll be a mixed use building. So that classroom will be going in on the first floor.
So council is pushing forward with the Police Oversight Commission?
Yeah, I was, kind of surprised, and maybe it was because it was at the end of the agenda and people were exhausted, but we didn't have much discussion on that last night. I know it's been something that we have talked about since the George Floyd murder last year in conversations with different community advocates to support the police by having a body like this that can work with them to engage with the public, review and draft different applicable policies, and help support the police through that validation process. So it passed first reading and advanced to second review and final adoption last night. And, I think it's just one more arrow in our quiver to say, that the city of Jackson is kind of at the forefront of good quality policing. And this is just one more example that points to that.
Well, you had a first reading of a panhandling ordinance, and that was voted down. What happened there?
There were five no votes and two yes votes, so it got voted down.
Okay.
it was good
mathematics there.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened, Greg.
Okay.
I think it was put on by some people from the downtown community that worked with the city manager and council member Bunnell, who represents downtown, that understand that there's pain handlers, solicitors, whatever you want to call some of these individuals in the downtown community. I've seen them out there. They've asked me for resources, things like that. I've never been aggressively solicited, but from conversations that we've had with the business community, they have identified it as a problem. This was proposed as a solution. I don't think that I can understand that there is a problem. I think we have to address the root cause, which I believe is the poverty that we see in the city. And even before the pandemic, we had nearly one in three living under the federal poverty level, even more asset limited, income constrained. And the pandemic has certainly exacerbated that, caused a lot of stress on families and individuals across the community. And so it should be no surprise that we see people that are willing to, stand outside all day and ask for some spare change. I don't think that our solution to that should be to say, hey, we don't like that. It makes me uncomfortable and it makes me feel guilty. I don't want to see that. So we're going to make it illegal to stand out in front within 15 feet of any door, make it illegal to be asking for change in a variety of different areas. I think that's just the wrong solution. I don't think we're going to be able to enforce it anyways in ticketing people with a $100 ticket.
That's tough.
Yeah, and I also think it's unconstitutional. And I think a variety of individuals within the civil rights community agree, and there's case law that points to it as well. So I think it's incumbent on us to work on different solutions to address the poverty that we see and address some of the problems that have been identified by the business community downtown.
Yeah, probably a lot bigger fish to fry than that one. Urban farming ordinance.
I did it.
I've been thinking about this.
Uh-huh.
And I'm probably I think I'm like a lot of people. I don't care if you have bees or chickens or lizards or pelicans, as long as it's not my neighbor.
A NIMBY.
Yes, exactly.
A classic NIMBY, not in my backyard.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, there is the ordinance, as I wrote it, is designed for that. So with chickens and bees, I'll say right now, and this is something that I kind of talked about last night, our ordinance doesn't address bees at all right now. So if you are concerned about not in my backyard, the city likely doesn't have any enforcement mechanism outside maybe our nuisance abatement ordinance to regulate beekeeping in the city right now. So for everybody that is scared that there are going to be beehives all over the place, they are allowed right now and are not all over the place. What I'm proposing is, and what I proposed and what council passed unanimously, or I think 6-1 maybe, last night, was to regulate it, allow it within the city, regulate it with a little bit of regulation that provides for some standards and guidelines, and also provides provisions for the surrounding neighbors and landlords to be able to say, you know, no, to kind of have veto power, because the to get a permit, you have to have sign off from all of the neighbors within 100 feet of your property, so that you know, your neighbors are comfortable with it too. If you're a renter, your landlord and your tenants also on the premises have to sign off. So there is kind of a process to go through to have that allowable, so that the kind of not in my backyard concept is satisfied of, you know, you got to get the people in your backyard to sign off on it.
Yeah, I'm not worried about bees. It's like the chicken showing up in my yard and being chased by the raccoon.
Well,
it could get ugly.
I would say, Greg, I'd say you probably shouldn't be having a pet raccoon in your backyard, so.
They're not my pets. Trust me.
The chickens need to be confined to a space, so you can't have free range chickens out there. They have to be caged and within a certain space. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's pretty good regulations within the urban farming ordinance now that provide for that, that provide for inspections, that provide for sign off from the neighbors. So I think there's some good provisions in there that will help guide this sort of activity towards more responsible individuals. I also, no law is perfect. So as we go through this process, we certainly can make changes to it, but I think it's something that'll be ultimately good for the city. Allows an activity that we are seeing allowed in numerous other cities, and does so in a way that includes consent of the surrounding neighbors as a requirement for a permit.
Okay, so that's moving forward, right?
Moving forward, it passed first reading, advanced to second reading, and final adoption. So there'll be another vote on that at our September 28th meeting.
Will that be a close vote, or have you figured that out?
I don't think so. I made some changes to it last night to include that people every 3 years when the permit is up have to go back to resolicit their neighbors. Have to have another inspection, and that any enforcement mechanism is not on is on the permit holder, not necessarily the property owner, so that we're not enforcing on the landlords that may have approved a permit, and now there's some sort of problem with the permit holder. So, that'll go up to second reading and final adoption here in 2 weeks.
What's the itinerary for the lieutenant governor tomorrow?
Well, I think the lieutenant governor is going to come down and talk about his, Thriving Cities proposal and what they've been working on to build more resilient and vibrant communities across the state. The city of Jackson has worked very closely with the Whitmer administration and worked very closely with Garland. In fact, I just saw him the other night at an event, and he was talking about Jackson and excited to come down here and see what we've done at the King Center. Mm-hmm. And, you know, talk about, I'm sure they'll be talking about what they're going to be using some of their American Rescue Plan dollars for. You know, we have kind of this this unprecedented state to use these resources to really drive some transformational progress in not only in the state with the state funds that have been allocated to the state, some of which the legislature has kind of refused to spend as of late. So maybe we'll be talking about that. But, you know, what we can also do here locally with our dollars, I think is going to be some of the conversations tomorrow. And, you know, we can build on some of the progress that we've made. And I think standing inside the MLK Center and actually looking at some of the work that we've done locally really highlights that point.
Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies.